Parshas Toldos. Let's start with the first pasuk or the second pasuk. The Eile Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham Avraham Hildes Yitzchak. Okay, these are the generations of Yitzchak ben Avraham Avraham Hildes Yitzchak. Vayehi Yitzchak ben Arboim Shana. He was 40 years old. Dekachtoyes Rivka. When he took Rivka, he got married. Yitzchak got married. Who was Rivka? She was Bas Bisuel. She is the sister, Lavan, Ho'arami, Loli Isha. Very interesting. Tells us over here in one pasuk Chaf, it's very elaborate, that Yitzchak, he took Rivka, the Kachtoi. He took Rivka. And who was she? She was Bas Besuil, Ho'arami, Mipadan Aram, Achois, Lavan, Ho'arami, Loli Isha. He took her as a wife to himself. Don't we know this? Didn't we have last week in Parshas, Vayera, 63 psukim, describing in great detail the story of the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka? We know this. We know it was it's a fascinating story. Eliezer, Eved Avram, the whole parasha of shidduchim is Parshas Chayesara. It's the big parasha. So why over here does the pasuk have to summarize what happened? And not only does it summarize, if you would only know this pasuk, if you would never read Parshas Chayesara, they would never teach that to you in yeshiva, and you only read Parshas Toldos, you would think that when it came time for Yitzchak to get married, he called up a shatran, and he asked about different families, and he gave them a list, and they presented him with a few eligible young girls, and he went out with them, and he decided which young girl he will choose as a wife. That's what it seems to say here. It says here, Bekachtoi, he took Rivka, he took her, Bas Besuel, Ho'arami, he knew who the Shver was, he decided the Shver is a good Shver for whatever reason, and the brothers, you have to check out the brothers, he did his homework. He did nothing. Everything was handed to him on a silver platter. Not only was it handed to him on a silver platter, nisim and niflos took place. Miracles. Eliezer kvitzaderech. He stands there and he's mevakesh. He says, "Takadosh Baruch Hu, the girl that will come out and will draw water for me and for my camel, this will be the one that you have chosen." They try to kill Eliezer. And then that night, the Malach came and switched the food, the poison. There were miracles. There was a story. There was so much happened. So much happened in this story. Why then does the pasuk say here that Yitzchak took Rivka for himself as wife? So I believe the answer is, this is a very big Musar Haskel, that in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people do things, and they think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows a person to think that Koichi v'oitzim yadi osa liyasachayel hazeh. And a person doesn't even begin to realize that under the hood, how many miracles, nisim and neflos, went into a person's accomplishments. Every single day we say mizmor l'soida. The reason why we say mizmor l'soida, Chazal tell us that a person does not realize that in a single day, how many miracles nisim and neflos HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for him, and he doesn't even realize. Why not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kind, he wants a person to feel that he did it, he earned it. If a person is given something against his will, he's given something, he doesn't appreciate what he has. And then, easy come, easy go. But if a person feels that he has done, he's done his ishtadlus, and he has accomplished something, then he feels better. He feels that he has accomplished something, and he has satisfaction. And this is, but the truth is, but a person has to realize that the truth is, whatever you have, whatever you've accomplished, has only come about through nisim v'niflos events behind the scene that you're not aware of. That's exactly what we see over here. We have two stories of the shidduch. We have what really happened in Parshas Chayesara, 63 psukim, and what Yitzchak actually And what Yitzchak thought he did. He thought the kachtoi es Rivka, he himself to Rivka bas mishul harami mi padana rama chos lavan rama lelisha. That's one idea. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Now this idea, we have over here a big day Esav Hachamudos. Okay, let me tell you the whole sequence of this vart. There was a person by the name of the Beis Yitzchak. Everyone here with the Beis Yitzchak? Of Yitzchak Yudah Shmelkis. Yitzchak Yudah Shmelkis was my great-great-grandfather. Okay, he was a very big Talmud Chacham, and he had a grandson called the Reish Sharaf of Aaron Levine. Yitzchak Yudah Shmelkis had a daughter, was married to Rav Nassim Levine, and he had a grandson of Aaron Levine. And Rav Yitzchak Yudah Shmelkis told of Aaron Levine as a child following Vart. It says here in the Parsha, Vayiki Zokin Yitzchak, Vatechen Enav Miraos, he called for Esav to give him the brachos, and what happened? Rivka hears the plan that Yitzchak is planning to give the brachos to Esav. She quickly calls Yaakov and tells Yaakov, Yaakov, come quick, I have to dress you up like Esav. I want you to take the brachos, I'm going to give you Shnei Gidoi Izim, you'll go and you present to your father, he'll eat it, he'll give you the brachos. Yaakov complains, but I am an Ish Cholok, and my brother is an Ish Soyer. So just don't worry, I'll dress you up, I'll go and I'll put on your skin some goats here, and some here, and he'll feel you, he'll feel like you, Esav, you'll be okay, and I'll dress you in the big day Esav HaChamudos. So Yitzchak Shmelkis, what does it mean, what's the deeper meaning that Rivka dressed up Yaakov Avinu in the big day Esav? Because in Chazal, a beg, it always refers to a midah, to midos. The godim represent a person's character traits. This is something which is Pasuk in Kohelet. B'chol eis yihyu bigodecha levadim. Every time your garment shall be white. And Chazal darshan, the person should always have sparkling midos. Always should know how to deal with every situation. You should be humble. Modeh la'emes. Follow all of the good midos that I mentioned in Pirkei Avos. B'chol eis yihyu bigodecha levadim. Here, in order for Rivka to pull off this task of transferring the brachos from transferring the brachos from Esav to Yaakov, Yaakov had to behave in a cunning way, in a way of trickery. Who has the midah of trickery? Esav. So in order for this to work, Yaakov had to behave like Esav. Esav's midos, his begodim, are begodim of deceit, of trickery. You now have to take those begodim, those midos of trickery, and dress yourself in them in order to succeed in taking for yourself the brachos. That's why it means, what it means in the pasuk. That's the deepening of the pasuk, that Rivka dressed up Yaakov in the big day Esav. Not just the physical clothing of Esav, but in the midos of Esav, you have to be a ramoy. You have to be a deceiver and make believe you are really Esav. Go in disguise and take for yourself the bracha. So this is the vart that Rav Yitzchak Yehudah Shmelkis told his grandson, Rav Aaron Levine. Rav Aaron Levine said to him, it's a very nice vart, Zaydi, but if that's what it really means, how could the pasuk say the big day Esav HaChamudos? Chamudos means chamud, it's precious. You can't say that the need of deceit is chomud. It may very well be that it's an important need. There is such a need that at times a person has to make use of deceit. But you can't say that this is the ideal. It's chamudos. So Rav Aaron Levine said to his grandfather, let me tell you the correct shot. Yeah.
In other words, what happened was Esau put on his, as he would say, his Shabbos begodim.
Yeah.
Full as what? The same way.
So you want to say Shabbos begodim?
Also, okay, but Esav would wear.
But
he even though Esav never wore Shabbos begadim, but to fool his father, he put on Shabbos begadim.
Okay, so we're trying to figure out this, but we don't want to just translate the word begadim to mean begadim. We want to translate begadim to mean the midah. As it says in Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelka, says that besides the simple interpretation that a beged means a garment, but beged also means a midah. B'chol eis yivyu begadecha levanim. Your midah should be sparkling. So you want to go translate this, refers to the midah, the midah of ramoyis, of deception. You cannot translate this to be the midah bidich eidah hachamudos. So if Aaron Levine said to his grandfather, I'll tell you what the pshat is. We know that what was one of the milas of Esav Avinu, which Yaakov Avinu was afraid of, and we find this throughout Chazal, the need of kibud avoim. Esav, Chazal tell us that Esav knew how to be mechabed his father. When he would come to his father, he would dress in big day, he would tack a dress in big day Shabbos, and he knew the midah of Esav. He knew how to be mechabed his father. He excelled in the midah of kibud avoim. So here, what Rivka is telling Yaakov Avinu is, I want you now to be mechabed your father. I'm going to dress you in the big day Esav hachamudos, not in the bad midah of deception. I want you to prepare for your father the best delicacies. I want you to go to your father and be mechabed your father and speak to him with the ultimate derech eretz and give him the best food and treat him the way your brother Esav excels. So then in Ochinami it's a midah of giving kavod, and in Ochinami it's chamudos. This was the only thing that Esav had one up on Yaakov Avinu, was Esav Avinu was zochah to mechabed his father, at least superficially, at least from the outside, and that's what the pasuk in Ochinami, let's go with your mahalach. Beged doesn't just mean a physical garment. Beged means a midah. What kind of midah? A midah of kibud avoim, and this indeed is big day Esav hachamudos. Shav Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelka says, I'm asking, I accept. I have charata from my pshat. It doesn't mean deception, because if it's deception, then it couldn't mean chamudos. It means the mid of kibud avoim, and the mid of kibud avoim indeed is big day Esav hachamudos. Okay, so I thought that was a little cute part. Yes, in the Hadrash Fe'ion. Yeah, the whole thing is there. Mm-hmm. He records what happened when he was a child, and the grandfather told him the svarth and his response, and how his father was, the grandfather was masking. Oh, you have a better shot. The grandson outdid the grandfather. Okay.
See,
what? Of course, it's a drush. Of course, it was, but it was chamudos. But Rivka would not say that. Yeah. Would Rivka say it's a drush? Would Rivka would not say that big day ace of hearts? Okay, it's a cute when little drush. It's not.
When you have to use
okay. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Now this parsha is very unique in that it is the sixth parsha of the Torah. Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chaye Sara, Toledos. Right, we're up to the sixth parsha of wait. How old was Yitzchak? Everything on this whole thing I'm telling you now, except for the very end, is from Rabbi Wolfson, of Moshe Wolfson. In the Munasi Tacha, he makes these observations. Just observations. I don't really have any very anything very deep to tell you, but it's a very interesting observation that you should keep in mind. This parasha is the sixth parasha of the Torah. There's something to it, sixth parasha. How old was Yitzchak when he gave birth to his children, Yaakov and Esav? Vayihi Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana. He was 40 years old when he got married, and he was 60 years old when he gave birth, when he had these two, when his wife, Rivka, gave birth to Yaakov and Esav. So that's another interesting idea. Six. There's another interesting idea that there's something about the number six in this parsha, the birth of Yaakov and Esav. In which aliyah do we have the brachos, the ultimate brachos? The yitim lechohu elokim mital hashamayim u'mishmanei ha'aretz v'rev dagun v'siyosh. Where do we have the? Where were the birchas Yaakov given? Shishi in the sixth aliyah. How does the bracha begin? The bracha begins with the vav. V'yitim lecho. And Rashi, each one of the brachas begins with a vav, and Rashi mentions in the first Rashi on the Yitain, v'yachzar v'yitain. It doesn't just say Yitain l'cha, part of the bracha, the whole essence of the bracha is the vav. The vav, that's the essence, that's maybe even the most important. So you get a one-shot deal, okay, that's a one-shot, how long does a bracha last? You get a bracha. But you get v'yitin, v'yachzar v'yitin, the vav, v'yitin, the vav makes it, it should be a continuous bracha. Another vav in the parasha. No, this is very interesting. I'm sure you all go to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a neighborhood called Ne'ah Sha'arim. Right? Everyone knows that Ne'ah Sha'arim. Who doesn't know that Ne'ah Sha'arim? That's the way, I mean, like you'd have to be born in Mars not to know about Ne'ah Sha'arim. Where does it come? It comes from this week's parasha. Yeah. It says by the Pelishtim. It says in the Pelishtim that Yaakov Avinu, he went and he Yisra Yaakov Bashana Hahi, and he was very successful, and he found. Let me find the exact pasuk. He found right after the story where Avimelech takes his wife. A hundred measures. So what does it mean, measures? They evaluate how much is this land worthy if you invest. What could you expect on your investment? 5%. 3%. Put money in the bank today. What do they give you? It's minus. You have to pay to put your money in the bank today. It used to be 30 years ago, they give you 20%. Can you imagine? 30 years ago?
And it's high inflation.
Today, you want a checking account. We have to charge you. We can't give that to you for free. You want checks? Real paper check. Oh, we're going to charge you. Every month, so you have to pay more than the interest. There is no interest. We're doing you the favor. How much could you already make if you invest in this real estate? How much can you already make? The al 100 times more than they expected. Can you imagine such a bracha? The reason why he made this evaluation was for Meisr. The reason why they made this evaluation was because right away from the very beginning they wanted to know how much Meisr you have to give Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, fine. Meyah Sha'arim. And that term has been used for, but I don't think Meyah Sha'arim, that term has been used for that neighborhood. Meyah Sha'arim. 100. Also means gates. A shar is a gate, so it's also interpreted not only to mean mayor evaluations, but it's also interpreted to mean the mayor 100 gates. Now, what's so interesting is that the word mayor sharim is bigamatria. Anyone want to figure this out? I'm not making this up. 666. 666. Six in the hundreds. Mayor sharim. Next time you go to Meir Shem, ask the people there in the neighborhood, did you know that this neighborhood is Bigmatria 666? Six in the hundreds, six in the tens, six in the digits, in the single digits. 666. And that represents the ultimate bracha.
It's a satanic number, yeah.
Okay, but 666, the Chazal, it is the ultimate bracha. How much could you make? How much profit could you make in business? 100 times. Yeah. It represents, this pasuk represents an incredible bracha. It represents the concept of the ultimate bracha, Me'ah Sha'arim. And what is Me'ah Sha'arim? 666. A lot of sixes in the sixth parasha. Yeah. I'll give you another example. Okay, now, this is not in the parasha, but let's do other examples. At Chanukah, how many neighbors do we have on Chanukah in total? 36, not counting the Shamas.
Right, yeah.
First day, and we go, and then what is 36? 36 is 6 times 6.
6
times 6. Moisif HaHoylech, going higher and higher. Shabbos, today, what is today? Today is Friday. It's Yom HaShishi. And what happens in Yom HaShishi? Mishneh, Lecha Mishneh. The mon, a double portion of mon, Lecha Mishneh, double. Wow. A tremendous bracha. In the year of Shemitah, and Yovel, what does the Pasuk say? About, it's very, when Torah make a statement like this, it's very powerful. The Torah says, Vitzivisi es birchasi bashana hashishis. The asos es hatzvua l'shloish hashanim. So when it comes Yovel, person go, what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat in the year of Shemitah? Not really is Shemitah, very Yovel. What am I going to eat in the year of Shemitah? I'm not going to be able to plan the year number 7. What's going to be? How am I going to survive? I'm not going to be working the field in the year number 7. Hashem says, do not worry. Vitzivisi, I will command as birchasi bashana hashishis. So the Torah explicitly says, when it comes to number 6, I'm going to give bracha. And the year 6, I'm going to give, in the year, this year 6 of the Shemitah cycle, I'm going to bestow upon you tremendous bracha. We see over here, all of these sixes, to review, just to review very quickly, we have this week's parasha is the sixth parasha. In the sixth aliyah, we have the ultimate brachas, the Birchas Yaakov. Chazal tells, the Baal HaTanya says, the Birchas Yaakov are the ultimate brachas. It's much greater than the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're greater than the brachas that Yaakov gave the Shvatim. The brachas that Yitzchak Avinu gave Yaakov is the ultimate bracha, Birchas Yitzchak, the Yitin Lecha, in the sixth aliyah of the sixth parasha. And it begins with a Vav, and the Vav is 6, which represents the inyan of more and more Yitain, the Yachzer, the Yitain. And this week's parasha, we have Mea Sharim. Mea Sharim represents the ultimate Baruch Levaruchayim Hashem. Mea Sharim is Bigmatria 666. Incredible. And if you go leave this parasha, you have number 6, always is Bracha, the 36th Nehra Chanukah, it's Kislev. Parasha told is always the first parasha Kislev. It's really the Ha'ar of Chanukah. Chanukah, there are 36 Neros. Kinega, the 36 hours that the Or Nignas, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu put away the R for the Tzadik Los Lovo, 36 is 6 times 6, and Yom HaShishi is Lecha Mishneh, Vitzivitzi is Birchasi Bashanah HaShishis. Incredible. Now what do I want with all this? Nothing. Yeah?
Chayidish Kislev ends in a Vav, 6 also.
Kislev. But what's the significance of that? Only things which are significant. So the only thing I want to bring to your attention, which may be controversial to some people, is the Magen David. You can say a lot of things about the Magen David. The Magen David has become a Zionistic symbol. So you're getting yourself into, but the Magen David has been around way before State of Israel. The Magen David has been around, at least we know for 400 years, and there are riots that it's been around even more, and it appears to be a Kabbalistic symbol. But putting everything aside, the bottom line is, after everything is put inside, the Magen David today, whether you like it or not, wherever it comes from, every parochas and every Hasidish shtetl used to have a Magen David.
It used to.
What?
The menorah.
That's David. The menorah is the Magen David. The menorah. Oh, you have a talk this one, but I'm talking about the real Magen David is the menorah, is Lamatzech ben Neginas al Hashmid. We spoke about Lamatzech ben Neginas al Hashmid. That's another Magen David. But basically, the Magen David, there's no question as Kedusha. It's a Kabbalistic symbol. It's been around for 400 years. It represents Klal Yisrael. That's what it does. It's Mitzias. And what is Magen David? So you could talk, I know someone here mentioned, I know that in Maskil Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kalbach, he has a beautiful piece on the Magen David. He goes into the depth and he talks about two triangles going up, going down. He has Torah. And he's not that there's a lot of people that have Torah in the Magen David, but there are many different features about the Magen David. There are two triangles, but the most basic feature of the Magen David is the number 6. 6. The Hispashtos of 6. Vav is a straight line. Vav. But the Magen David represents the expansion of 6. 6. So you could say Hashem represents, Hashem is all over, Lamala, Lamata, the four different kinds of the world, the four different dimensions of the world, but in the most simplest form it represents 6. The 6, the expansion, the breaking forth of 6 in all directions. So what is 6? 6 represents bracha. It represents the bracha of Klal Yisrael. The Yitain Lecha Elokim Yital Hashmaim, the Birchas Yaakov. It's interesting, the Magen David, not only, it means a lot of things. It means Klal Yisrael Neged Umos. But there are certain things that Klal Yisrael have alone. Even if there would not be the nations of the world, there would just be a Klal Yisrael. And there wouldn't be any nation, not anyone else. So there are certain symbols. But the Magen David, in a certain way, represents Klal Yisrael Kneged Umos Ha'olam. That this is us, not them. And that's really the Birchas Yaakov went to Yaakov and not to Esav. No, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say this. What? He wouldn't talk about the Magen David. Maybe he wouldn't, or maybe he would. I don't know. I'm just saying, Wolfson, I don't know, Wolfson makes all of these observations about the number six. Yeah. This week's parsha, everything is the number six. And he shows how the number six represents, all of the Chazal represents bracha. I just want to take note is that we have a symbol called the Magen David. The Magen David has 6 points, 6 directions. It represents the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael. It represents Parshas Tolos. It represents what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given, what we are proud of, the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. That is something that a person should think about and appreciate when you look at the Magen David, the number 6, how the number 6 is so prominent in Chazal in connection to bracha. Okay, let's now go to another idea. In this week's parasha, now this idea, I'll tell you a drush. Now the drush can be total nonsense, or maybe there's something you can use to. But before we go that way, I want to do one short thing first. What I'm going to tell you now is just a ha'ora, an observation, which is raw and which is something for you to think about and develop on your own. The bracha, again, we mentioned before that in the sixth aliyah we have the ultimate bracha, Birchas Yitzchak V'yitin L'cha Elokim Mital HaShamayim. It is interesting. This is brought down in Shvili Pinchas. He makes note of this. He doesn't say everything I'm going to say, but he makes note that there are exactly 10 berachos in the Birchas Yitzchak. Let me show you. We go to Shishi in Parshas Toldos. V'yiten l'cha ha'elokim, Hashem grant you. What should Hashem grant you? Number one, mital hashamayim. That's number one. Number two, u'mishmanei ha'aretz, the fat of the earth. Number three, v'rov dagon, grain. Number four, v'sirosh, zavav. It's a different bracha. There's dagon and there's sirosh. It's four. Number five, Yavducha Amim, may nations serve you. Number six, V'yishtachavu L'cha L'umim, may they bow down to you, may nations bow down to you. Number seven, Havei Gevir L'achecha, be a master for your brother. Number eight, V'yishtachavu L'cha B'nei Imecha, may the children of your mother bow down to you. Number nine, Oirerecha Aror. Number 10, Umivorechecha Baruch. Amazing. There are exactly 10 brachos in the ultimate bracha. The Birchas Yitzchak Yaakov Avinu V'yitin L'cha. You should say it every Mitzvah Shabbos, a very big school of Parnassah to say in Mitzvah Shabbos, to say the whole thing V'yitin L'cha. There are 10 brachos. Why 10 brachos? So it says in the Medrash. Incredible Medrash. I don't know where the Medrash is. I didn't really plan on saying this. I only put it later. I didn't look at all the details. But the Medrash says because that Klal Yisrael is also to get to be mekabel the 10 luchos. The Aseres HaDibros. The luchos. The Aseres HaDibros. There is a parallel between the Aseres HaDibros and the 10 Barachos. It's an observation. Now that gets you thinking, because then you can make a match. You can start matching in order. The first Dibur is a Noichi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem is Kula Ruchni. Mital HaShamayim. Fits. The Tal, the dew of heaven. It represents, there's Ruchnius, which corresponds to Baruch of Gashmius. Then, Lo Yihye Elokecha Elohim Acherim. On this earth, you don't worship any other gods. That's the Mishmanei Haaretz. There's something to it. There's a parallel between the Aseres HaDibros and the 10 Brachos. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Ruchnius. You observe Ruchnius. You Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll give you Tal Shamayim. You don't take any object on this earth, on this mundane earth, and start and worship it. I'll give you Mishmanei Haaretz in reward for Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Ponai, of not taking and worshipping other objects, stone and wood, and other objects as gods. Next is Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. That corresponds to Dagon. Dagon, Koyach HaDibur. The Koyach HaDibur. That Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. I don't know, I'm not telling you, it's an observation. You have to figure out what the significance is. Tirosh. Now this makes sense. Shabbos. Shabbos, the fourth dibur is Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Shabbos. Shabbos he makadesh with Yayin. Tirosh. So there's definitely something to it that there's a dirga Shabbos we enjoy. You have to enjoy yourself. And Tirosh doesn't just mean it means wine represents the Tanugim of Olam Hazeh. The Karosol LaShabbos Oinek. The Yayin represents the Tainug of Olam Hazeh. There is some connection there. Yavducha Amim Kibud Avoim. Now this is very interesting. Yavducha Amim corresponds to Kibud Avoim. That's very interesting that Esav wanted the brachas. And what did he excel in?
Kibud Avoim.
It's interesting that what does Esav have in this world? If you go look at all the brachas, go through all the brachas. What does Esav really have from all the brachas? He doesn't have any of the brachas. He got nothing. Okay, he didn't get the brachas. But it's very interesting to note that Esav today is in the matzav of Yavducha Amim.
Yes.
Esav Edom is the world power. You have to. Whatever that means.
No question,
what?
The Western world.
Yeah, no question.
So elaborate it. What do you mean, no question about it? Elaborate.
Because Edom becomes Rome, which becomes Christianity, which becomes Western civilization.
And they dominate the world. Yavduchan. Every other nation of the world is subordinate. Yavduchan. So it's a very interesting connection. For Kibud Avoim, if a Klal Yisrael would only be Mekayim, Kibud Avoim, we would be Zoichet to Yavducha Amim. Unfortunately, Esav took for himself that need of Kibud Avoim, and indeed, look what Edom has. Look what Edom has. Edom is Esav, and look what Edom Hitaket does have, this bracha. He has an incredible bracha of Yavducha Amim. Okay, then, now, the other ones I really do not know. The other ones are much more difficult. Lo Sirtzach. Lo Sirtzach is V'yishtachavu L'chol U'umim. I mean, I think there is something to it. That if you are Machshev, human life, no lo sirtzach.
Yeah, but let's say, what was the pasuk
there? V'yishtachavu l'chol le'umim, to bow down. Nations will bow down to you. They will be. You don't have to kill someone to control them.
Yeah.
Lo sirtzach. Why is there murder in the world? Because it's a way of expressing control. Control.
Eliminating the
competition, right. You eliminate. The bracha is, you don't have to kill them. They'll be sabun. V'yishtachavu l'chol le'umim. There is some connection here.
Distinguish between Yavduchamim and Yishtachavu.
Yes. Yavducha means to serve. It doesn't mean to bow down. It doesn't. Yavducha means we're loyal to you. We're loyal to you, but we're not going to do the dirty work. We're loyal to you. We'll be there for you, but we're not going to be. It's another level. You're right. I'm just making an observation. It's a fascinating thing to go take over here. The 10 brachos. The Medrash says the 10 brachos correspond to the Aseres Hadibros. That's why. And you look at them. You do see some interesting similarity. Have you gvir liachecha? Be a gevir. I don't know what that means exactly. Okay, I don't know what that means. I really don't know.
With these matchups,
yeah, they are definitely right. V'yishtachvu l'cha b'nei imecha lo tignoiv.
It's connected.
V'yishtachvu l'cha b'nei imecha and ayerech arum mevarechecha baruch. The last two lo sachmur is the last one. Did I skip? Lo sirtzach. So you have to match these. Okay, but I just wanted to make this observation, something to bring to your attention. You have something. The Baal HaTurim does something we once discussed. The Baal HaTurim does something very similar when it comes to the 10 kosher animals. In Parshas Re'eh, there are exactly 10 kosher animals. There are 3 behemos and 7 chayos. And he imagines those correspond to the Aseres Hadibros. So you see over here there are parallel. Okay, what else I want? Yeah, but okay, and absolutely. But if you look deeply into it, perhaps you can find some pattern, some deeper meaning. But the point I want to make, another observation I want to make about this is there is Yaakov Avinu is called Yaakov. Why is he called Yaakov? So the parasha tells us Ki Yado Echezes Ba'akev Esav. Yaakov. So there's a famous medrash and says that really Esav should have been called Asui. Mm-hmm. Why is he called Esav? Because he came out as a mature adult. He was finished. He had hair. He had a beard and payas. He was wearing a strimal. He came out with a strimal and a dekasha. What?
Only till 13.
Only till 13. Then he got rid of. Then he cut off the payas when he got to 13. But he came out with a beard and payas. That's what it says. It came out asui. So why is he called Esav? Why is he called Esav? Because Yaakov. And why is Yaakov called Yaakov? Yaakov should have been called Okev. The other Chazes Baakev. The Akev. So why is Yaakov? Because Yaakov, he took away the. It says in the Medrash. I'm telling you Medrash. I don't know what it means. I just want to make an observation. And you will think about it and you'll come to your own reasoning. Because Yaakov, he took away the Yud. The Akev also means the end, the heel, the end. He took away the Yud from Asui. And he took it for himself, he brought it to the front of himself, and that's why he's called Yaakov. So really, it was meant to be, Esav was meant to be called Asui, because that's what it says in the Pasuk. He was complete, he was a mature adult, he came out looking like an adult, and Yaakov should have been called Akev. The Medrash says, Yaakov took the Yud from Asui, took it for himself, became Yaakov. No, Asui, the Vav is always there. Ayin, Sin, Vav, Yud. Asui. It's a shuk, what?
But the Yud.
But the Vav is always there. The Vav remains. The Vav is there. Asui has a Vav.
Vav, Yud.
Vav, Yud. The Yud is always, the Vav is just the Yud. So now that's what it said. Now I want to somehow, I don't have a complete idea, I want to connect these two things together. What do I mean to connect? The Barachos that Esav so desperately wanted, the brachos that he so desperately wanted, correspond to the Aseres Hadibros, the Yud. The Yud is the Aseres Hadibros. Now let me just tell you one more medrash, which will show. I'll show you what I'm saying. There's some legitimacy to what I'm saying. Yaakov is also called Yaakov because Akev is Bigmatria 100. And 72. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many words are there in the Aseres HaDibros? 172. How many Dibros are there? 10. You can have a lot there. In English we say there are 10 commandments. That's a mistake. That's an error. There are not 10 commandments. If you read the Aseres HaDibros, they're more like 20 commandments. And in every single commandment, there are multiple commandments. There are 10 statements. In each statement, some of the statements have multiple commandments. There are two parts to the Aseres HaDibros. There are words, and there are statements. You take the words, you bring them together to make something which makes sense, something which is a concept, an idea. There are Akev Tevos, and there are Yud Dibros, Yud statements. Who was the master of Dibor? Esav. Kitzayid Befif. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav. Kitzayid Befiv. Rashi says, either Esav would bring Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak was mechabed his father by bringing his father delicacies, delicious food, but also trapped his father. He was a master orator. He's common with his mouth. How do you separate Meiser from salt and Tevin? These are very deep philosophical questions. He was able to speak. He was a master of Dibur. What are the Aseres HaDibros? What is Torah? Torah is captured in two parts. Tevos and Dibros. The koyach of Torah is to take the Tevos. The Torah is just a bunch of words, bunch of letters. Each letter is an os, and each os will come into Tevos. The koyach of Torah is to take the Tevos and to make from the Tevos Dibros. That's the koyach of Jewish, the koyach of Havan, of understanding. The advancement of Torah is to take the symbol Tevos and build Dibros out of the Tevos. This was Esav's specialty. Tzayid Befif, he had the koyach of Dibor. Yaakov Avinu realized that this guy Esav is a faker, he's a phony. And therefore Yaakov Avinu, he went and he grabbed away from Esav the Yud. the koyach hadibur Esav, you're the tzayid b'fiv. What's the tzayid b'fiv represent? That seres hadibros. You're going to get the brachos. Why are you going to get the ten brachos of the yitin l'cha, which has 10 brachos? The magic is the 10 brachos correspond to the aseres hadibros. So we see from this that there's a relationship between the birchas yitzchak and the aseres hadibros. The aseres hadibros are called dibros because the aseres hadibros represent a sophisticated koach of dibur. When Hashem created man, what was the koach of dibur? Sound. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim vayiyadam l'ruvam targim l'ruach memalala. Sound, speech. That's a very elementary, basic level. A child could also bring out sounds. As you get more sophisticated, you can say words. As you get more sophisticated, the ultimate form of sophistication of dibur, the ultimate sophistication of speech is dibur. That's the ultimate. There are sounds, there are osios, there are tevos, and there is dibur. To take together small concepts and build larger concepts of understanding, that is the ultimate sophistication of the koyach adibur. That what it appeared Esav had the koyach tzayid b'fiv,
right.
And because he was tzayid b'fiv, he's entitled to the brachos, the birchas yitzchak of v'yitein l'cha, because v'yitein l'cha goes hand in hand, the brachos go hand in hand with the aseres hadibros. Yaakov Avinu already as a child realized v'yodei oichezes b'yakev Esav. This, the aseres hadibros, which is okev, which is only appreciated through the koyach hadibor, the okev, which is 10 dibros, you don't deserve it. I'm taking it away from you. You don't really have the koyach hadibor. You're a phony, you're a faker, you're a charlatan. I take away the yud. Yaakov takes the yud. Once Yaakov takes the yud, it's Yaakov. And Esav is left from Osui, it's just Esav. V'meila, Yaakov now has the right to take for himself the yitin l'cha, the 10 brachos, which go hand in hand with the aseres hadibros, because Yaakov already has seized the yud, which represents that Yaakov Avinu is the rightful heir to the Messiah of Klal Yisrael.
He has the Kol Yaakov.
The Kol Yaakov, but you need the Dibur. This is a raw idea where you see these worldview. You see these three things coming together. These three different midrashim, but there's definitely overlap. Should review. We have the Birchas Yaakov, the Birchas, the Yitin Lecha. There are 10. The Medrash says that goes hand in hand with the Aseres Hadibros, and we have Yaakov is Akev Yud. Ayin Kuf Beis Osio Tevos with Yud Dibros. And we have Yaakov Avinu taking away from Esav the Yud. And the Yud and Yaakov, and what is the Koyach of Esav? Kitzayid Befiv, the Koyach Adibor. Yaakov Avinu realizes you're just full of baloney. This is not what, the way it should be. He takes himself. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Aren't we in a way selling Yitzchok short? Yitzchok raises two sons. He doesn't know what each son really is.
You're asking the question that the greatest minds in the world grapple with.
Yeah.
All of the Rishonim are asking this question. Everyone's asking this question. It's like the question of Tzadik Viralo, Rasha Vitovlo. There is no real answer. How? What's going on over here? Yitzchak doesn't know. There is no satisfactory answer who answers all of the questions of how could it be that Yitzchak was fooled? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want him to be fooled? Rivka, what's going on? There are Jushim and Jushim. I'm going to tell you my own Jushim in a few moments. But it's a very difficult question. What's going on? Why couldn't it be nice and simple? Okay, let me just say one more quick vart, one more idea. This is a drush. This is like you say, Mr. Axelrod, a drush, the capital D, but not just the capital D, like a very big capital D. What's DIP?
Drush in progress.
Drush in progress. Okay. But this is a very big capital D. Okay. So we have in the past, we mentioned this yesterday. There's a very unusual word here in the beginning of the parasha. Yitzchak doesn't have children. Vayet haYitzchak laHashem lenoichach ishto ki akrochi vayosul Hashem atarif kasha. She gets pregnant. Wonderful. VaYisroitesu habonim bekirba vatoymerim kein lamazanoichi vatelech lidrosh Hashem. She's pregnant. What's the problem? I'm pregnant. I go to the Beis Medrash. I pass the Beis Medrash. The Farches says losses. I go to the Beis Avodah Zarah. I pass the Beis Avodah Zarah. Also, how could, what does she think? She right away should have thought, I have twins. Right? Isn't that the obvious, isn't that the obvious, thing, a person, one child has a tendency to do this, tendency, they're contradictory. Can't be that one child wants to have a desire, you don't have that. Okay, you can't have. So she should have thought right away that she has twins, but no. She says this cannot be, something does not make sense. So she goes to Lidre, says Hashem, Beis Midrash HaShem, and Shem tells her, guess what? Shnei Goyim Bevidnech. Now how do we understand that when we go to Cheder? You have twins. I got good news. The results have come back. You're carrying twins. Sonogram says you have twins. Shnei Goyim Bevidnech. Okay, if that's really correct, then the next pasuk says that she gives birth. The pasuk tells us she gives birth. And what does Vayetze? Vayimlu Yomecho Lolades Vihinei Soimim Bevidna. You know. It shouldn't say the word vihine. Vihine always consistently means throughout Tanakh surprise. 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 Vihine. What's the surprise? Yeah. The sonogram told her, Shame told her that you're carrying twins. So what's the big surprise? There is no surprise. So the answer, it must be then, it gives a drush, is that when Shame told her, Shnei goyim bevidneich, she continued to believe, I have in my womb one child. And this one child will one day, it will have a child, have a grandchild, will splinter, like we know we learned in learning Daniel. Yavon splintered into four kingdoms, right? Alexander the Great died, and his kingdom was taken over by four of his generals. It splintered into four kingdoms. I have one child. It's not going to happen today. It'll take 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years. Eventually, this one child from this will come two nations, but it's one child. And that's why already this one child already has the roots of two nations, and that's why this one child, when it passes the Beis Medrash and the Beis Avodah Zarah, it's Mifarcheses Lotzes, but it's one child. And now, guess what? She gives birth. Vihine Soimim Vitna. So what would you think? She should have realized, oh, my understanding of the prophecy is not that it will one day turn into two nations. I already have two nations. No, that's not what she thought. That's the chiddush I want to suggest. At this point in time, both Yitzchak and Rivka, they knew of what Shame told her, Shnei Goyim Bevidneich, but one of these two will produce both. And the other is nothing. It's just psilas. She has twins. One twin, Chazal tells Yaakov was shvach. He was a very simple ishtam. He didn't make a lot of noise. Esav was a greiser person. He had a big, long beard, big payas, big strimal. He was a big guy. Esav was, he was the real deal. From Esav, this prophecy, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, will come from Esav. And Yaakov, zero. Now, what's going to be the Shnei Goyim? So this Chazal say, this they are Midrashim. The original plan was, there will be two nations. One nation will be Kula Torah. Nothing but Torah. Only learning, only Ruchnius. And the other nation will be Kula Gashmius. And the nation that's Gashmius will support the nation of Ruchnius. There will be some type of a Yisachar Zevulun partnership. That was what really should have been ideally. But who will this come from? From Esav. There was now a debate between Yitzchak and Rivka, which one of the two would be both. Yitzchak believed that Esav would be both. And therefore Yitzchak wasn't fooled. He knew that his son Esav was a para adam, was an ish sadeh. But he also saw it before. He knows how to learn. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud Chacham. He knows how to learn. And he's also a very successful businessman.
He has both midos. Esav has both midos. And being that he has both midos, from him will come two nations.
Now he's too complex, but he'll have children, and one child will take over, divide the business. One child will become the Rosh Shiva, and the other child will take over the business. There'll be two nations, and each one will support each other. They'll feed off each other. Rivka said, no. The faker, the phony, the psoilas is Esav. Esav is nothing. Zero zilch. The one, Rivka. Yaakov. The one that from both nations will come will be Yaakov. Yaakov, I see, he deep down, he has the potential to be successful in business and also to be Torah. So who was right? They were both wrong. They were both wrong. They both misunderstood the interpretation of shame. Both umos were already here. They never were willing to have charata on their original understanding of what shame. The shnei goyim bevidnech. They thought shnei goyim bevidnech means from one will come two. They were shocked. I have twins. They didn't take the hint. When the twins were born, they should have realized this is going to be the Gashmias and this will be the Ruchnias. No. Too premature. One is zero. One of the two is going to be everything. And the disagreement between the two, which one from which one will come both? And the end was they were both wrong. It was really meant to be Esav would have been the Gashmias, Yaakov would have been the Ruchnias, but there was one thing which went wrong in this original plan. Esav was corrupt. And Esav would never have supported Yaakov Avinu. And therefore Yaakov Avinu had to get both, because that's what Chazal said, because Esav would have starved, would have tortured Yaakov Avinu, and everything ultimately had to go to Yaakov Avinu. So the end result was Yaakov Avinu got everything. He got all the brachas, he got everything. But Vayechra Yitzhak Harod Gedola Adber, when he saw that both Esav and Yaakov were able to present him the Gedoy Yizim, they were able to present him the Matanos, they both came in. He then realized that he was mistaken all along. Had he known the truth, he would have given the brachas of Gashmias to Esav and the brachas of Ruchnias to Yaakov, would have broken up the two. But that would have been a disaster, because that really would not have worked out, because Esav would never have never been so kind to Yaakov Avinu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch had to work it out that they were mistaken in their belief of who was, or mistaken in their belief, so that Rivka should push Yaakov, and Yaakov and Achnami would get what's not rightfully, would get both sets of brachas, would get the bracha of Torah and the bracha and the bracha. It's just a little bit of a drush, but there are many drushim, so I thought I would throw in my hat to say some idea about that, and like, so have a nice Shabbos. Take care.
Happy Shabbos. I just found out I had a granddaughter.
Mazel tov.